Ready to drive more sales? Let us guide you. You're listening to the CloseTheDeal.com podcast. Here's your host, Yul Smith.
Tom Martin, I want to welcome you to the CloseTheDeal.com podcast. And look, you're with Converse Digital, but you live, you work in a world around the world with Converse Digital. Been coaching people for years on, you were one of the early adopters, early innovators making it happen. But you live around the corner from me. So I'm going to ask you a question. When you're doing business with somebody who's actually coming to town, where do you take them to do business? And welcome to the show. I should say that first.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. I'm flattered you invited me, even though you do live around the corner. So if you didn't, I know where you live. Like you said, most of the work I do isn't in New Orleans, and most of the time I am closing deals virtually. But in my early days of business development, I was running biz dev for an agency downtown that you're familiar with, Peter Mayer. And I was still rather young. So I would always, if we had out-of-town clients coming in and I was trying to push the deal to close, I would take them to a restaurant here in New Orleans called the Bon Ton Magazine. Because it was right around the corner from the agencies. B, I knew the owner. And so he would always do the little owner walkover and come to the table. Tom, thank you so much for bringing him in. And out-of-town people were like, wow, this guy's kind of the shizzle over here. He knows the owner. But the food was great. But it also, if you remember, it was like old-time waitresses. They call you darling and honey and all that. And for out-of-town people, it was just a kit. They always remembered that meal, whether we got hired or not. And just because it's such a unique dining experience. It was different. It was fine dining, but in this really casual way. So it was a wonderful, great way. Everybody would instantly relax and you could really bond over some drinks and some food. And I do think it helped us close a few deals.
And it's iconic. It's an iconic institution.
It is.
In New Orleans. It still is to this day. All right. My favorite question. Who or what are you grateful for to help you get you where you are today?
Probably my first boss out of college. I went to work when I graduated UT, I went to Dallas and I worked at Bozell, Camp Timberland McLean, right as I joined on the American Airlines business. And the head account director was a guy named Paul Gould, old New York ad guy. And he, early on there, he told me, he said, Tom, I'm going to just tell you a piece of advice. He said, clients hire people, not agencies. And it has stuck with me 30 years because he's right. And what he was trying to tell me was that, look, man, this is a relationship business. People are going to hire people that they like, trust, find credible, and that do good work for them, obviously. But he was driving home that it's a people business. And I think all businesses ultimately come down to people businesses, but especially in advertising. So it's just something I never forgot, that I always focus on building relationships with people, whether they can buy from you or not. Just focus on building lots of great, strong relationships and success will take care of itself.
And I think you've taken that advice well, because you've had an unbelievable track record with some of the best marquee agencies in the market, all on the Gulf Coast, I should say. And today you went on your own a while back with Converse Digital. Share, why did you do that? And at what point you said, okay, I'm going to do this on my own?
Converse is actually my second agency. My first one, my wife and I started in 2002, 6 days after the birth of our child, which I would never recommend anybody start a company 6 days after the birth of a child. Very bad idea. Not good planning. And that one was run pretty okay until Katrina hit. And all of a sudden, we didn't have any clients because we were working with New Orleans-based companies that sold things to New Orleanians. And I had never considered a world where every client would fire me on the same day. But that's basically what happened.
Wow.
So I actually went back to Timberland McLean, worked on American, came back here, worked at an agency in town. And when digital and social media came around, I was very lucky or smart, one of the two. I jumped in very early and started doing some cool stuff, getting noticed. And I just really wanted to throw myself into that social space. And that was really not something I could do at a full service agency that I was president of. I was required to continue to work across all clients. And I just decided it was time. And luckily, the owner of the agency agreed with me. It was time for me to go back and become an entrepreneur again. And so I started Converse Digital and jumped into social media and then evolved into social selling, wrote a book about social selling. And have just over the last 14 years continued to evolve as that space has evolved. And now we predominantly, almost exclusively work with individuals and organizations to help them learn how to apply the techniques and the tactics that we've honed over the last 14 years for using digital platforms, be it social or email or content, to prospect, nurture, and close business. And so it's just been this nice, smart evolution by just seeing a major change. And a lot of companies had a problem. They didn't know how to adapt to that change. And so we started a company to help.
And that's where I think I started to get to know you way back when. And you were definitely on the forefront. You were with one of the agencies bringing Facebook to market before even people were even thinking about doing it. And then when you went on your own, I saw you speak. You stood on stage with a laptop and said, this is how we're going to get our news. You don't need an even news crew anymore. I remember this very well. And you asked the audience how many people were on Twitter, and a handful of people raised their hands and they were tweeting what you were saying in real time. That was so far ahead of everybody else. It wasn't even funny. So today you've evolved. You've built a business that clients around the United States overseas. How do you help people today, and walk us through how do you guide folks today going into business, or maybe they're in business with small, and do you work with small business, big business? Okay. What's your space?
Our sweet spot is either anybody in the agency space, so advertising, PR, et cetera, because that's okay. Just background mm-hmm. that's trying to improve their business development processes or improve their pitch decks. But on the small business side, our sweet spot is a company that is probably anywhere from brand new to 50-ish, maybe 100 people, mm-hmm. probably has a sales force of some sort, and they're privately owned. I'm really not a big fan of working with big public companies. They're too much of a pain. But with that small privately owned company, mid-size, small to medium-sized sales force, those are the folks where we can really help them, especially if that sales force is small and has to cover a large geography. Mm-hmm. That's where our techniques are super valuable, because it's all digital. So right. Skills. Instead of spending time on airplanes and then behind windshields driving, we show them how to maximize time behind a laptop, how to use some technology to really be able to stay in touch with a whole lot of people pretty easily and pretty effective. For a small business or an individual freelancer, we have courses online that we create. I do coaching, mm-hmm. my coaching packages, et cetera. But really, at the end of the day, it's all about really helping them understand, how do I deploy these digital techniques successfully? Mm-hmm. Or there's a lot of people we work with that are attracted to our training and our coaching because they don't maybe believe they can sell, or they find selling to be, in their mind, it's that sort of used car sales mm-hmm. cliche, and they don't want to be a part of that. And when they realize that, hey, our system's completely different, that attracts. And we're really successful with introverts, because a lot of times introverts think, oh, I can't sell. And actually, introverts can be some of the best sellers really in the world, because they're emotionally more in tune to their audience. And that can be a big separating factor. And so a lot of the folks that we work with, that they're introverts, and we're saying, okay, here's how you sell like an introvert. Here's how you use LinkedIn if you're an introvert, and just really opening people's eyes to a different way of thinking. And then once we do, then they can take care of that. We show them the path pretty good about running down it.
That is very counterintuitive, the way people think. Oh, being an introvert and being able to sell. And you just dispelled an entire myth. How do you help those folks? What does it look like when you walk into a company? What's the process you walk them through? What's the big nuggets that you say, okay, these are the areas I can help you, low-hanging fruit?
A lot of times, the first time we walk into a company, it's some sort of a workshop, mm-hmm. and it'll be customized half day or a full day. We'll put all their people through some sort of a survey, and then we'll come in and say, okay, based on what your people have told us in the survey, we think they need this kind of help. A lot of times that tends to be cold prospecting. How do I do it without feeling like used cars? A lot of times is how do I nurture and stay in touch with people and maintain and build and strengthen a relationship without feeling like I'm nagging them all the time, or that I'm interrupting them, and that I'm starting to get on their nerves. A lot of times it's also just about, how do I close? How do I close a deal, obviously in a negotiation type environment, mm-hmm. or how do I pitch better? There's a lot of sales these days that occur and require some sort of pitch deck. And science shows that people only will remember about 10% of what you present to them in a presentation. I don't think that's a biological limitation. I think it's a limitation of very poorly designed presentations. And so we'll go in and we'll apply neuroscience and educational science, and we'll show them this is how you build a deck is scientifically designed to improve information transmission, retention, and persuasiveness. And that can be a workshop as well that we do. I just did one in New York a couple of weeks ago. And in one session, we completely rewrite symptoms.
Wow.
And when they left the room, they, even though it was still in what I call wireframe, very rough, no real visuals, they still felt, wow, this is 1,000% better. This is going to help us sell, because it gave them a story that they could work off.
Yeah.
And it gave them this like red thread they could through the whole process. It really reframed how they thought about presenting their message. Mm-hmm. And that's that, honestly, that's part of the most fun. I love this project. You can see the impact.
So let's unpack something you said. You talked about somebody who feels like, okay, so they're the introvert. Let's go back to the introvert person. They've made contact with somebody. They're trying to establish that relationship. How do you coach them so they don't feel like they're bugging somebody?
The easiest thing that I try to convey to them is every time you reach out to me, you're reaching out to me in a way that is providing me with something helpful and able to. You're going to have to reach out a lot before you do. There are people who will call on me weekly and via email or social or whatever. And a lot of them are annoying. Hey, I'm just bubbling this back up. Or, hey, did you get my last email? Like, really. And there are people who say, hey, I found this article, and based on this blog post you wrote a year ago, I thought you'd find this really interesting, or something you said at a conference that I heard, or some webinar I watched on you on YouTube, or I heard you on this podcast, thought you might like this article. And that they constantly are providing value. You're going to have to send a lot of those to get an order. You really are. Because at some point, I'm going to actually look forward and look for that email or that social media share or whatever, because I know there's some value there for me. It's not a one, it's not a strictly one directional attempt at building relationships. So that's why I show them to say, think about that. Every time I sent you something, it started with, hey, this is something I thought about you, and I thought this, and it's not on some constant pacing. I try to help people realize it's not about every 3 weeks you got to do something, or every 7. Try to only reach out when you truly have something valuable to share, say, whatever. Just make sure that you're reaching out in some fashion or form along some stages, because out of sight, you know, and then you show them that and you give them some examples and they go, oh, I wouldn't mind that. Light bulb goes off. And then it's just showing them, okay, how do you curate or amass the kind of content that you need to be able to do that so that you're not constantly having to sell. And once you teach them that little 1-2 trick and help them set up their own processes to do it, They're just off to the races, and it feels pretty easy. And then first time they start getting good positive response from feedback, then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Oh man, this works. And then they do it more and they double down and it works more. Yeah. Pretty soon the flywheel's spinning, the leads start coming off. Everybody's.
You know, what you just described, I was with the seafood board for 13 years, almost 13 years. And we got called on constantly because we had a big marketing budget. Probably 1,000 people over the 13th reached out to me easy. There's 3 people that I have become friends with because they used that technique. That's the and one of them is a mutual friend of ours, John Barranco.
All right.
And he always brought some form of value, and it turns it. It's not something I want from somebody. It's something, here I am to help you. And you value that. You actually look forward to when they're reaching out to you at some point. It turns into that kind of a relationship. That is such a subtle shift.
The thing is, if you can get that shift to where this isn't salesperson, prospective client, that's how the person's thinking and defining this relationship. Mm-hmm. If you can get to this place where maybe you're not besties, but you're professional friends or colleagues. Actually, if I see you at a networking event, I want to say hello. I enjoy our time together, whatever. I know you're selling me eventually, but I consider you a friend.
Right.
If you can get to that level, then it becomes twice as easy because now I can send you stupid cat videos if you're into stupid cat videos. And that counts because I'm here and I know you and I know you like stupid cat videos. I send it to you. Yep. And that's where the networking, the nurturing and the staying in touch and building the relationship, that's where it gets really easy.
Yeah.
Because now I can send you professional information. I can send you personal information. Yeah, just things of that nature. And it's just, it gets simple. It gets easier. I mean, I once got a client because she was following me on Twitter and I cook a lot. I like to cook. And I always post my little pictures because I think I'm going to be the next Top Chef. And she would see them on Twitter. And there was a day where she saw it was a black bean recipe. And she was having a Cinco de Mayo party. And so she get this email back. It's the person I've been emailing and trying to get business with. And she said, this is out of the blue, but I saw that black bean recipe, that black bean chip, it looked really good. Would you send me that recipe? I said, absolutely. I don't really cook with recipes. I just have them in my head, but I heard up and wrote one down. Shot it off to her and she made them. And the next week I get an email. She was like, thank you. Those were so awesome. Everyone loved them. Blah, 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 blah. Really appreciate you doing that. And we'd had a break. I was like, hey, anytime you need something, you call and let me know. And it might have been a week or two later, I get something back. Hey, you know what? I actually do need something, but it's not a recipe. It was something to do with social media or something like that. Fast forward, she becomes a client. We end up doing a bunch of projects. She refers us to other things. It just happens. And it happens because you're not treating it like a transaction. You're treating it like a relationship that, yeah, I hope you buy something from me, but if you don't, that's cool too. We can still be friends.
It comes back and it may not happen right away, but it's going to happen at some point. And like this lady. So, all right, that's looking at the individual. What about the small company? What's the number one thing? I mean, you go in, you do a workshop, but what's the number one thing people making at scale that you try to fix that they can move the company forward?
I think for the small companies, it tends to be, there's two things that I find. One, they either are not using some sort of a CRM tool to manage all of their sales databasing and prospecting and all of that. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. And so it's, hey, you need it. Here's what that looks like. Here's how that can help you. The other is that it's just helping their individual salespeople or marketing people, et cetera, their employees. We all think that our friends know what we do for a living. Mm. And when you go and ask the question, you find out they don't really, they know you're in marketing or they know you're in some, they don't really, they, and, but in this day and age, it's not really who you know, it's who knows you. Mm-hmm. It's really important, especially in business development and sales. And so a lot of times it's just going in and showing them how if you could get your 35 employees all to do a much better job of making sure that everyone in their sphere of influence understands they work a window or they work for an AC or they work at a merchandise production, whatever it is you do, the average network is a couple of 100 to 500 people. It becomes exponentially larger. Your brand becomes exponentially larger.
Yeah.
And it is today only because they've taken a proactive approach just to making sure people know where they work, they do, what kind of problems your company solves, et cetera. And for a lot of companies, they just, I don't know why, but it's a mind-blowing concept.
And you think about that. They've got their own marketing firm inside their building. Every person in that room is a marketing voice for the business that they're working for. And most of those people think I'm in accounting, but no, they're more than accounting. They can be a voice piece to get business to come in the door.
Absolutely. And it can be as simple as, hey, go buy everybody really nice logoed branded golf shirts or whatever. If they're females, whatever female kind of shirt people wear there. And just say, hey, look, the next time you're at the PTA meeting or the parents club or the whatever, wear that shirt.
Yeah.
So that every time you go and buy them a couple of different ones so they don't have to wear the same one every time. But every time you're someplace at an event where people are going to be, wear the shirt, wear the brand. starts to, people see it. They start to see it. They start to remember it. They link it with you. And science shows it will have the effect you want it to have. And that is a big thing. I think small companies do not really appreciate the power they have in their own employee base to help build, spread, and really create momentum behind their brand.
You just nailed two huge things. All right, Tom, what I want to start landing this plane here, because you've given people two key things that for the introvert who thinks they can't sell, and for the business owner who doesn't realize they've got a gold mine with their team beyond the work they do, that they're a marketing team for them to grow their business in a significant way. You provide a whole host of other services far beyond that. What's your number one piece of guidance? Let's stick with the entrepreneur. What's your number one piece of guidance for an entrepreneur who's maybe early stages of their business?
I think if I had an entrepreneur sitting here and saying, what's the number one thing I need to worry about? I would say in your work, or if you're truly like a solopreneur freelancer, I would say at work. And if you're somebody who are hiring employees, I'd say your team. Surround yourself with the very best people and build strong relationships with the very best people and resources that you can, because that's what's ultimately success. You can accomplish a lot on your own.
Yeah.
But when you put a strong team around yourself, whether that's just a network of people that you can call on to help or people who actually work with or for you, to me, that's the key in growing successful.
I always say start in your own backyard. That's your neighbors, that's your relatives, that's your friends, that's everybody personally. Yep. All right. Call to action. Would people want to go beyond these two fundamental things we went over today? There's a lot more to this. You can build an entire strategy just around the people in your office based on what you just talked about. Layers of strategy to expand the business. What's your call to action?
If people are interested and they think maybe this guy has something more that he can tell me or teach me, I would just say conversedigital.com. And there's a button that says what we think. Click on it. There's, I don't know, 300, maybe 400 articles. Videos, et cetera, that have been done over the last 14 years on all fats, marketing, selling, everything that I've done. And it's all free. If you like what you read, sign up. Every time I push something new, you'll get a little notification in your inbox that says, hey, you said something new. Gives you another chance to do it. And if they want to go beyond that, there's a contact form that can reach out. I always love having conversations with folks. If there's a way we can help them, then great. We'll work together. If we can't help them, then we'll just stay friends.
Tom, I appreciate you, Tom. Your insights have always been valuable, and I'm sure they're going to help a lot of folks out today.
I'm just flattered you invited. Thank you.
All right. Absolutely. And that is a wrap with Tom Martin. Folks, Tom is being very humble. I'm telling you right now, the depth of knowledge he has for helping people in this space, selling products online, in person for that matter, however any business needs help to market and promote their products, he's shared two things. That's just, like I said, it's just scratching the surface. So if you need some guidance there, make sure to get in touch with Tom. Now, today's episode is being brought to you by Your First Franchise. And if you've ever considered having a franchise and it's that time to make a change, check out yourfirstfranchise.com and do me a favor. Our community keeps growing. We're interviewing entrepreneurs and franchisers, and our audience is growing. I'd love to, please leave a comment, share, subscribe, all those types of things. Anything you can do to help, because you've been part of our journey, and I appreciate that. So thank you very much. And you know the drill. Be intentional and make today a great day.